Okay, I think we're ready to go. It's just about 5, so I'll get started. First of all, thanks everyone for coming. I know it's 5 o'clock, so the last session of the day, but hopefully you'll get a lot out of the session. What we're gonna talk about today is using automation, specifically the System Center Orchestrator component of System Center, to integrate all of your existing data center systems together and try to deliver that end-to-end processes. So before I get started, there is that slide. So there's the Ask the Experts. We're just trying to promote you guys. If you want to ask questions, please come afterwards. I know I'm heading over there after this session. So we can answer some questions afterwards, or if you have additional ones, head on over there and maybe just talk to some of the other people. Okay, so for the session objectives, I'm basically gonna break it into two different parts. So how many people here are familiar with Orchestrator today? Awesome. So that's almost everyone, which is great. But how many are familiar with service management automation with the Windows Azure Pack? Yep, so it's a lot less, but I wanted to touch on that as well. So with Orchestrator, we basically have two different features. We have one that's designed for traditional data center integration and automation, and that's the Orchestrator graphical authoring that most of you are probably familiar with and use a lot. But we also delivered an automation capability called Service Management Automation as part of the Windows Azure Pack in System Center 2012 R2. And so I wanted to talk about both of those capabilities we have today, see which one works inside your own environment. If you're thinking of going with the Windows Azure Pack, hopefully you'll see the automation integration capabilities and allow you to actually integrate that into the rest of your processes. The other thing I'll talk a little bit about is, you know, what are some of the common scenarios you would do with Orchestrator or with service management automation? A lot of them are very similar. There's just some unique things you do with automation inside the Windows Azure Pack that you might not do in the traditional sense, but most of the scenarios actually carry forward in both of them. And then I'll spend a few minutes talking about the roadmap. So I had a session on Tuesday where I spent a lot more time going into the Orchestrator roadmap. So if you're interested, I have the code at the back. You can go and watch that again, but I talked more about the futures. But I wanted a couple of slides in here just so that we could actually close on that and give everyone some visibility into where we're going with Orchestrator over the next year. Okay, so this is kind of the, in some ways, it's a standard slide we use to try to show where from System Center we think about automation in the future. And how we think about it is, it doesn't really matter what you're doing, traditional data center or cloud. What we're really trying to accomplish is you need to be able to integrate all your systems together so that all of your operational tasks are automated. And the real reason you wanna automate all these operational tasks is at the end of the day, you have to be able to achieve on-demand delivery. You know, that's really obvious in the cloud. So when you go to a cloud, when you actually request a resource, you want a VM or a SQL database, the thing basically just shows up. And so kind of the days of like, you know, submitting a ticket and then spending days or weeks looking for your virtual machine are starting to die down. Even in the traditional sense, all of our goals is really about what are all the operational tasks as needed to actually give out that VM. But then it's not even the VM. Afterwards, what are all the operational tasks in maintaining all those virtual machines or maintaining those SQL servers? You know, how do you make sure they're groomed correctly? How do you make sure they're patched correctly? All of those operational tasks you might be doing manually today, the real goal and the vision we have with Orchestrator is that you can actually automate and integrate all those systems together. And the way it's done is it's basically with three different things. And the first is that integration goal. And how we accomplish this with Orchestrator is we allow you to talk to any system inside of your data center. And those systems aren't just Microsoft systems, they're not just System Center components. They can be across any third-party provider as well. So if you're using a different change management system, you might be using different CMDB, you could be using a different provisioning portal. All of those systems you can actually talk to and integrate with Orchestrator. And the reason that's important is you're not gonna get that on-demand delivery if there's all of these kind of silos where you have to hand off work between the different groups because the systems don't know how to talk to each other. So that's where we spend most of our time actually trying to figure out how to make it as easy as possible to talk to those systems, because once you can do that, it opens up the possibility of doing operational tasks. And then once you can actually talk to those systems, our main goal after that is giving you the right tool set so you can actually author what those processes are that are unique to your data center. And we know they change. Every customer I talk to, you know, their processes are different as you start to work inside your data center and bring all these pieces together. But the goals are the same. You need to be able to talk to these systems, author what those processes are, and then be able to maintain those over time in a centralized way. And so we spent a lot of time actually working on Orchestrator to enable those scenarios. And of course, the big thing with all this is automation. You don't do all the work of figuring out what all your processes are, talking to all these systems, centralizing all of your automation, and then not be able to really see the benefits of that. And the real core benefits are, is it just runs all the time. When you're not there, it's just running. It's always doing work for you that normally you would do yourself inside your own IT department. And so that's what we've actually built, is that robust engine. So you know, once you've actually deployed it and you've put it into production, it's going to stand up and actually be able to deliver all the automation you need to bring all your different systems together. So that's kind of how the three pillars we use as we think about automation, you know, what it is today inside of R2 and System Center. But even as we go forward, these are the three things we always kind of keep in our heads as we actually design and develop more capabilities and features in Orchestrator. Okay, so I'm actually going to start with service management automation first. And the reason I do that is it's basically new. So I saw a lot of you hadn't seen it before. So I just wanted to give you an idea into what service management automation is as part of the Windows Azure pack. And the main reason to do this is we only shipped it in 2012, R2. So we've been shipping Orchestrator since 2012 with SP1 and R2. But this new feature we added is basically service management automation. And it's important because a lot of the technology, a lot of the things we learned when we were using the graphical orchestrator, we've actually made a lot of those improvements in this specific thing that's designed for the Windows Azure pack. And you'll see as we come together over time why that's important to kind of understand directionally where we're going. Okay, so you may have seen this slide in other places, but the real goal we're trying to get with the Windows Azure pack is to be able to deliver on-demand services to end users. And so that's kind of the idea with Azure. You know, you go to Azure and you can just get the resources as you want them and you just start using them. You know, so that's really good in the Azure sense, but when you're in a data center, there's often other things you have to do. It's not just give out the services as they need them. You don't just give out as many VMs as somebody asked for. There's policy you have to apply to those. There might be some, you know, licensing checks you have to do as those VMs get out. There might be some backup policies you have in place for certain type of departments. So all these things that are unique to your data center, you need to be able to apply to this end service delivery stack so that when they still get their services, you still have the ability to apply some management and some policies on top of that. And we basically do that with the three things, which is the top is the Azure pack. So we still want those end users to be able to get their services on demand. So we don't really want to get in the way from an IT standpoint of delivering that, because if we do, then we're not delivering IT on-demand self-services. And it's very easy then for, you know, a lot of our internal departments to actually go somewhere else because they feel like it takes too long to get things done. And so with the Windows Azure pack, we still maintain that ability for them to get their services. But how we build it is we basically build it on top of all of the System Center capabilities we deliver in System Center and Windows Server R2. So probably a lot of you are familiar with these ones if you're using System Center today. The one I'm going to focus on is the Orchestrator capability. And why this is important, it allows you really to kind of deliver this end-to-end processes so that you don't just get the resource. That's kind of there automatically based on the Windows Azure pack. But be able to tie in all the rest of the systems you have, the CMDB, that's where really Orchestrator and the service management automation comes to life and allows you to kind of describe what those processes are as end users consume services from your IT department. And again, it's not just about, you know, making sure those services get delivered. It's about making sure all the operational tasks that afterwards would happen. Because you'll probably notice in a lot of the self-service stuff is, you know, in some ways it's not that hard to give out a virtual machine or to give out a SQL server. But actually, that's like a one-time thing. A lot of the work we do is actually trying to maintain those things over the next 3 months, 6 months, you know, 5 years. And that's where all the operational tasks come in. How do you patch it? How do you back it up? How do you recover if there's a failure in it? How is your monitoring strategy going to work? This is where a lot of time is spent by IT people. And so those type of things are where I would almost invest a lot of your time is trying to figure out what are the processes that you want to do that are automated so that all of those tasks are also done through automation. So it's both on the provisioning side, but particularly on the life cycle around operational tasks. Okay, so this is the capabilities that service management automation has with the Windows Azure pack. And it really comes down to three main things. The first I mentioned before, which was that centralized authoring and asset management. And the reason we want to have this is probably most of you are using PowerShell or something else in your data centers to try to automate some of these tasks already. You know, I don't think anybody's not trying to automate and script out their solutions. But what we find is, you know, there really isn't a place that gives you the ability to store it all in one area so that everybody in the department can actually work on it, but it's not being duplicated. There aren't scripts lying around. There aren't credentials in some random places. You know, when things fail, you can actually know they failed and get back and actually figure out why they are and get recover. So what we've done with service management automation, very similar to Orchestrator, is allows you to centralize all of your automation in one place. And not just centralize the workflows and the runbooks, but centralize all of the dependencies, like the assets associated with those, like credentials, your schedules, your variables. Everything gets stored in one place. The next thing we have with service management automation is actually the highly available engine. So what we've done with service management automation is we've actually moved to a new engine away from the Orchestrator custom engine we have, and we moved into PowerShell Workflow as the core engine. And that was a major move for us, but it really opens up a lot of capabilities that hopefully you can take advantage of now when you do your own automation. And obviously, some of those are things that are just challenging with Orchestrator today, like 64-bit run space. That just comes with PowerShell Workflow. But other capabilities, like the ability to do things in parallel, there's automatic built-in functionality with PowerShell Workflow, so you can actually, if you wanted to provision 50 VMs in parallel, you could literally deploy 50 VMs in parallel, and the workflow is really optimized to do those type of things. And the other big part of the engine, obviously, is that it also has built-in resumability. So if you want to checkpoint, so you've done a major task, like you've actually deployed a VM or you've just patched a whole entire cluster, you may actually want to checkpoint that time. So if the next step fails in your process, you don't go back and try to repatch the whole cluster again, because that could actually be very expensive. You just want to start from where you've actually known a good state and continue on with the rest of your processes. And that capability is built into PowerShell Workflow, whereas in Orchestrator today, it's a little bit more challenging to get that solution in place. So that's the engine, and it is really highly available, too. I'll show you an architecture diagram later, and I'll kind of go into how the architecture is built so you get some confidence in how the system would work. So the last thing we do, which I mentioned earlier, which is the integrations. So with Orchestrator, we have these integration packs, and we ship a lot of them from Microsoft that allows you to tie into all the different system center pieces, all of the different Windows and third-party systems. But with service management automation, we actually change and try to leverage all of the PowerShell modules that exist out there in the ecosystem today. So by moving to the PowerShell workflow engine, it not just enabled that rich, highly available engine, it also allowed you to say every PowerShell module that's out there, not just from Microsoft. As you know, every server product in Microsoft ships with PowerShell modules in order to manage them. So it doesn't matter if it's Exchange ones, through the System Center ones. If you go out there, there's a module for almost every server product inside of Microsoft. And when you think about modules, what they're really about is allowing you to talk to those systems and perform actions on them. That's what the commandlets do. So that is your integration, and that's for all the Microsoft ones. But I can bet if you actually went out and talked to a lot of your vendors, they actually have PowerShell modules as well. And the reason they do it is they know most IT people, actually, the way you do automation and scripting today is through PowerShell. So not only are our partners all the way down at the hardware levels delivering modules for all of the hardware and the storage and the networking, even all the way up the stack, even with VMware and Amazon, you should just see the amount of modules that are out there because they know that's the way you script and you automate all of your end-to-end tasks. And the real benefit about moving towards this PowerShell workflow engine is that those modules now can be imported directly into the system. They're going to be centrally stored again, just like everything else, and then they're distributed out to the runbook workers that perform the actions automatically. And so that's another benefit you're going to get by moving and thinking about service management automation if you're deploying the Windows Azure pack. Okay, so I'm going to go into a demo and kind of show you service management automation. I think that's the best way you'll get a good feel for what it can do. And as you start thinking about the Azure pack, if it's something you might be looking at now or down the road, you'll actually have an understanding of how service management automation can fill that role. And the one thing, some of you may have saw my session on Tuesday where I was talking mostly about roadmap, and I did touch on these demos I'm going to go through, but I spent about a minute on them, whereas I'm going to spend a lot more time actually giving you some best practices, trying to understand how you would actually build out these demos in the real world, and some things to think about as you actually integrate all these systems together. Okay, so hopefully everyone can see this. So if you're not familiar with it, you might think you're looking at Azure. but you're not. This is the Windows Azure pack, and you can basically tell because you can see it's running off my server, and it's not running up on Azure. And this is where you can deploy Windows Azure pack on an on-premises solution. It's a private cloud solution. It's not tied into Azure at all. It just has the similar capabilities and consistency with Azure, so it gives you that portability of your applications across Azure or deployed in a Windows Azure pack on-premises. And that's the whole goal, is to actually deliver that. And if you want more information about the Windows Azure pack, I would go to some of the cloud platform system solutions. So that just got announced this week. And that's basically a fully integrated solution with Windows Azure pack all the way from the hardware level up to the software level. But I'm going to focus mostly on the automation space today because we could spend the entire session just going through the Azure pack, which I don't want to do. Okay, so inside of here, you'll see that there's an automation space. And very similar to what we've had in Orchestrator in the past is we wanted to be able to give you a view from an operational standpoint of what's happening inside your system. And the reason we know it's important is that as things go on, as you build more and more of these processes, you're basically depending your entire business on this automation. You know, and that's a hurdle in itself, is like if you did things manually, you could kind of check and you'd feel good that actually I did click that thing and I know it's going to work. Whereas when you start to bet more and more on automation, it's pretty critical that you know the automation is running well and that you can respond to it. So inside of the dashboard, you'll see that we tell you how many jobs are running, which ones are failed. You can quickly drill in either to the runbook or the job. But this is more like if you're actively using it. I think most of you, at least in the larger enterprises, you'll actually probably use Operations Manager to monitor these systems, because that's maybe where a lot of your operational guys are watching. And so there is a management pack. So we have these management packs with Operations Manager for service management automation. And if you integrate that, it'll just show up inside of Operations Manager and all the alerts, all the failed runbooks, all of it's a really, I think it's a pretty good management pack. You'll actually get all that information inside of Operations Manager. So think about that if you're looking for rich operational tasks. But we do have it here as well, so if you go in and you are troubleshooting, it's available to you inside the portal as well. So the next part of the service is what we call our runbooks. So this is where all the PowerShell workflows are built. And this is that centralized library I talked about. This gives you the ability to store all of your scenarios, all those processes into one place. And you can see there's just a big list of all of the runbooks inside of here. And it goes on, you know, I don't know how many I have, but I have 4 pages, so I think that's about 100 or so of different runbooks. And mostly these are just my demo ones. So you can see even doing demos, there's actually a lot of runbooks and a lot of scenarios you can go through. But we support up to hundreds of these, if not thousands of them. We've actually tested, I think, over 100,000 jobs in a month, just to give you an idea of, you know, how much automation is really capable of doing if you start to invest in it and think about it. But the one thing you'll probably notice, too, is, you know, if you got a ton of these, it's actually a little difficult sometimes to know the relationship between all these runbooks. You know, is one a provisioning one? Is one a monitoring type solution? Is one a backup solution? You know, how do you know what they are? And so what we've introduced with service management automation is the ability to tag things. And this is where you can actually group things together that are related. So if you had a monitoring and you would actually put monitoring tags on that, and then you can actually search just for monitoring, and then all the runbooks associated with that would show up. And one of the reasons we went down the tag route instead of the folder route, which, you know, might be more traditional if you look at Orchestrator today, was what we've noticed was a lot of people ended up copying and duplicating runbooks just so they could group them together. And so you might have one runbook that actually accomplished a task like installing an OM agent, but the runbook might show up in 3 or 4 different places because people were moving them in folders so they could group them all together. And the nice thing about tags is you don't have to do that. Once you tag it, you could actually reuse it in lots of different groupings so that you don't actually have to copy or duplicate any of the runbooks. So hopefully you see that as a pretty flexible way. And it does take a while to kind of get your head around it because a lot of people like the folder structure. But we think this does offer a lot of flexibility and gives the ability to kind of build a ton of runbooks and reuse them as much as possible. You know, you don't really want to ever duplicate a runbook, if at all possible. Okay, so once you actually have all your runbooks stored centrally, the other main thing you'll want to do is actually store all these assets that are associated with these runbooks. And we talk about assets, we're basically talking about things that, what does a runbook need to actually perform these end-to-end tasks? And so the first thing you need, obviously, are those modules. So if you don't have these PowerShell modules, you can't talk to any system, and so the amount of automation you're going to do, I would say, is pretty limited, because you can't actually do a lot of automation if you can't talk to systems. So you can import all these modules directly into our system. And we kind of ship with a bunch automatically, but if I just clicked on import module, you'll see I could just point to a file and import that into the system. And these files, they're literally just PowerShell modules. So all you do is you zip up the folder, and then you import that zip folder inside of our system. We extract all the activities, all the information out of it, and then we make it available to your runbooks to use. But the other thing besides integration is actually being able to contact all of those different systems. And maybe the systems are just a build server, maybe the systems are some deployment server. It doesn't really matter what those systems are. You need to be able to store them centrally again inside of our assets and not hard code them inside the runbooks. And the way you accomplish that is basically using these four different areas of connections. So those of you familiar with Orchestrator, we have connections. And basically connections are a grouping of all of the information required to talk to that other system. So if you're talking to Virtual Machine Manager, you might need the server name, the port, the username, the password, and all of that gets stored in what we call a connection object. So that then when you're using your runbooks, you can just retrieve that out as the runbooks go, and then you can just use it over and over and over in all your runbooks. And it's really important from that perspective to actually do this because as you probably, most of you have probably policies in place where passwords get rotated, you know, every 90 days, 180 days. But now you don't have to worry about that. As they rotate, you can actually go and just update this one place inside the connection, and then all of your runbooks just continue to work. You don't have to worry, did I actually hard code it somewhere? Where are they pulling these credentials from? They're all centrally inside the automation system. But it's not just the connections, obviously your credentials. You know, how do you actually store all these passwords? You might be talking to Active Directory. You might be talking into, you know, SQL servers. You might be talking into your CMDB servers. And so all of these things take credentials usually in order to manage and talk to them. And so we can securely store all of those inside of Service Management Automation. And again, you just retrieve those credentials as you need them in runbooks. They're never actually, the values themselves are never in the runbooks. You just pull them in as you need them. The other two we have are just variables, and variables are mostly used just for ad hoc things you want to store and then be able to pull back in. And the last we have are schedules. So the thing about automation is it's not really automation if you end up kicking off these tasks manually. It might help you perform 10 tasks in a row, and we see some people doing that. But the major goal about automation is it basically does things automatically, and it can listen to other systems, and as events happen, the automation will get triggered and continue. And those things might be someone's asking, you know, for a new VM. You know, maybe a monitoring alert shows up. Maybe there's failures on the disk and you have to perform some actions. But typically you're responding to something else and then your automation kicks in. And so one way you can do that is a schedule. So you might have a lot of schedules that just say every morning go and do some grooming on my databases or go re-index some SQL servers. Those type of operational tasks you can just put on a schedule and they'll just happen all the time. Okay, so at a high level, that's kind of what, you know, service management automation is. I'm going to actually touch on a scenario just so that we can drill a little bit into, you know, how do we build out these runbooks and hopefully give you some ideas if you bring this back yourselves and how to go about delivering these end-to-end processes. So I'm going to click up here actually into VM Clouds. And VM Clouds in the Windows Azure Pack are basically clouds that are delivered on Virtual Machine Manager. So if you're using Virtual Machine Manager, you know it has the ability to create these clouds. And clouds are just abstractions that then you can offer out. And so they all show up in here. So you can see I'm pointing to my VMM server, and these are the clouds available to me. What I'm going to spend time actually is on this little automation space over here. Because this is one of the deep integrations we've done between automation and Virtual Machine Manager inside of the VM clouds. And what it allows you to do is actually, because that goal I talked about earlier, if somebody asks for a virtual machine, they kind of want to get the virtual machine, but it doesn't mean we can't do anything with that from the IT department. We can actually do still quite a lot. And the reason we can do quite a lot is because of these hooks we have built into the Windows Azure Pack. And so what you'll see here is I've actually set up one of these hooks. And so we can kind of quickly read it, but it says like every time a virtual machine object, so they're asking for a virtual machine, if it gets created, I want to run a runbook. And that runbook basically I've just called apply VM policy. And I'll go into that and we can talk, you know, about what that kind of policy does and how the integration works between the two. But again, it gives you the idea of how you can apply policy, not before they get it because you still want self-service, but afterwards or as they get their virtual machine delivered. And just to show you how this kind of would work is here is the actual the tenant portal. So the portal I was in is from the admin standpoint. This is where you set up all your Windows Azure Pack pieces. But when someone logs in, all they see is something like this. Whatever they subscribe to, they have access to. And then they can just create their own virtual networks. They can create SQL servers. They can create virtual machines. And it's very simple. It's very much like you would do up in Azure. They would just go into, you know, I need a standard virtual machine. I want to pull it from the gallery. And again, all these templates are delivered from Virtual Machine Manager and bubbled up through here. And then they would just select, you know, I want a Unix machine or a Linux machine, or I want Windows Server 2012. And they'll go through the little wizard, and then eventually it'll actually get delivered for them. But what's going to happen behind the scenes, what I'm going to show is, as the user goes through this and their machine starts to get provisioned for them, on demand, self-service, we're actually going to call that runbook, that apply VM policy runbook, so we can do things on the back end to make sure that VM is actually meeting the requirements we have inside the data center. Okay, so I'm going to go back into the automation space again, and so I'm going to find that runbook, that apply VM policy runbook, and I have a job. It takes a while to run, so I'm going to show you a job that I actually ran just a few days ago. And we'll walk through what it does and how it was built. So again, there's a quick search. This is as you start to get hundreds of runbooks, it is nice to be able to search and just find one. Okay, so you can see here's a job that ran, about 10 days ago that I'm going to walk through and show you what it does. But what you'll notice here is I'm actually in a runbook right now. So I'm in the Apply VM Policy runbook, but we also have a dashboard for that runbook. So as you can imagine, there could be thousands of these jobs that are running for Apply VM Policy, because there might be thousands of VMs that are getting created from the portal experience. And all of those jobs will show up here, and you could troubleshoot them and drill down, just like you did at the higher level. And what I'll do is I'll actually go into an existing job and kind of show you what it did when a new virtual machine was created by the end user. Okay, so the first thing you'll notice here is you can see a virtual machine was triggered. That's the name of that object we saw. What action were they taking on it? I didn't go into that, but if you go in there, all of the normal actions you would take on a virtual machine, like it got created, it got deleted, you know, someone added a new subscription, all of those things can actually trigger runbooks. So you can set up all the different rules depending on what they do. Because it might be if they delete the virtual machine, there's a whole set of policies that kick in as well. So you want to remove all the backups, because that thing's gone. So if you have a backup system, that's probably where you want to go talk to that backup system and clean up everything. Or if you had a change management system that was keeping track of all these virtual machines, you'd want to go into that change management system and say, oh, the virtual machine's been cleaned up, so that your configuration management DB would actually have the latest information. So what's happening here is we're just, when you trigger that, it just passes it all the information about the virtual machine into the runbook. As you can see, it's a ton of stuff. But we actually ship samples inside of SMA on how to use this. And so what I'm doing here is, as they actually call into it, there's a sample that just goes and actually looks into Virtual Machine Manager, checking if that virtual machine is up or not. And so it's just literally looping. You can see looping. And then eventually it's done. And so then we apply some policy, and I'll show you what that is. But at a high level, you can see what it's doing. It's actually installing the Operations Manager agent into that VM that just got created by the end user. Because this allows you to put it under monitoring, and you can do additional work inside of there. So let me walk you into this runbook now and actually show you how it works inside the PowerShell capabilities. Okay, so as you can see, this is actually a sample that we extended to do this work. I'm not going to go through every single line, but you can see here, this is basically, if you're familiar with PowerShell, well, how many are familiar with PowerShell? That's hopefully what most everybody is. But the one thing about it to know with service management automation, that it's not just PowerShell, it's PowerShell workflow. So you may not be as familiar with PowerShell workflow, and so that's something you will have to get your heads around, and you might have to, you know, do a little bit of training. It's very similar in concepts, the syntax is very similar, but there are some uniqueness things about PowerShell workflow that gives you all the benefits of making it highly available, resumable, parallel, all those things, but you have to kind of write your PowerShell to take advantage of those things. So I'm not going to spend too much time, but you can see here, this is where we do this sleep and I'm just in a loop. And the loop is basically calling in to VMM through our service provider foundation. And then once it's done, it will actually go and it will call another runbook called install OM agent. And the one thing to think about when you're building these processes is you really don't want to have big runbooks. You want to try to keep them, you know, relatively small. I would say, you know, under 50 lines if you can, because they just make them easier to maintain. You know, what we've seen is the bigger and bigger these get, the harder and harder they are to actually maintain over time. But if you can keep them small, and one of the real benefits of using service management automation and orchestrator is because you can have runbooks call other runbooks to call other runbooks. You can basically build like a Lego of all the different processes you might have in your organization, and then you can actually reuse those over time for lots of different things. So keep things relatively small as you go forward. And so all it does here is call install OM agent, and it passes in the computer name that was given to us as part of that hook we did when VMs get created. So let me jump into the install OM agent, and we'll actually see what that thing does. So the one thing you'll probably notice I didn't call out before is we have this publish and draft capability inside of service management automation. And the reason that's really important is you want things to continue to run, even if you're working on bug fixes or you're updating your scripts. And so when things are published, all of the jobs that are happening will just happen on that published version of your runbook. But if you want to make some changes and test those out, you can actually just trigger, go into draft, do all of your work, and then once you're happy with your automation, you can actually test it out here, make sure it's good, and then publish it. And then only new jobs that get triggered will pick up that new one. So that's a nice feature in service management automation that just allows you to actually continually update and make your scripts better as you go forward. So if people are familiar with Operations Manager, there's some things you have to do to allow the agent to kind of talk back to Operations Manager server. And so this is basically taking off some of the TechNet articles on what are the ports you have to open to make the agent talk back into Operations Manager. And the nice thing about this is, you know, this can get kind of tricky if you're not sure what you're doing. And if you start doing these things manually, what will happen is you'll miss a port. And then you'll spend about a day figuring out, you know, why is everything talking but one thing is failing. And that's usually what ends up happening is you do these things manually and then you forget, or someone forgets in your organization, the exact steps they were supposed to do. So I think another best practice is, you know, the more you codify into your PowerShell, you're just going to know that when these things run, they're going to do the exact same thing every time. It's not going to fail because you forgot to do the port. It's either going to fail all up for some other reason, but it won't be because you did some human error along the way. And so you can see what this thing does. It specifies the ports. And then it actually just calls another runbook. And so again, this is that whole best practice of building up these smaller runbooks. But what this one does is it configures a firewall and it passes in a list of ports that you want to set on that firewall. And so you can imagine this is useful in the Operations Manager scenario because you need ports open for it to talk to Operations Manager. But you can imagine there's a lot of scenarios where certain ports have to be opened. And so having this runbook just take a list of ports and the server, you can actually use that in lots of different scenarios. So again, think about always making these as small as possible because they will become reusable. And at some, it won't even take you that long. You'll have a full library of all the different tasks you might want to do in your system. And then it's literally about building them up and reusing them. So if you've got some experts in PowerShell, they can build a lot of these things. And then other people who might have the domain knowledge in networking or something else can actually use those to actually build the end-to-end process. So after the configure firewall is done, that's just another smaller runbook. Then it's standard commandlets on Operations Manager. You can see we just import Operations Manager. Then this is an actual commandlet. Install SCOM Management Group Collection. Give it the computer. You can see it's going to install the agent. So there's exceptions. We'll catch the exceptions. And that's all it does. And then once we're done, we call Configure Firewall again to make sure that those ports that we specified actually get set correctly after the agent's installed. And that's it. But you can see that thing is actually going to happen a lot. So that every time a VM gets created, this is going to run. But then you know all of those things are set up. And the one thing you may not have, I didn't call out when I went back to the apply VM one, there was actually a check we had in what cloud was it coming from. So let me see if I can find it real quick. But that check was to say, if it's coming from the finance cloud, I actually want to install these Operations Manager agents. But if I just have a bunch of dev and test machines out there, I don't really care if they're in management. I don't care. Those things aren't going to get backed up. Those things are probably going to get deleted within a week or two. So what you might want to do there is actually set a different policy that says, after a week, I'm going to email the owners of those machines and tell them I'm going to remove them unless they actually go and request more time. And then you could actually schedule that from, you know, 2 weeks after they're created, we're going to go and clean up all these dev and test machines. So these are kind of the scenarios, depending on what the users are doing, that you can apply behind the scenes, but they still get their end services as they need them. So I'll just drill in real quick just to show you what that looked like. So here's the published version. We have this grayed out just so you know it's published. But you can see here, we actually got the plan name. So these are the plans they subscribe to. And so if it's the finance one, then we install the OM agent. If it's some other one, it actually won't do anything. And so this, you can kind of build your own custom logic into the workflows depending on what you need to do. Okay, so that's kind of service management automation. And as you can see, it's pretty rich in its capabilities. But you know, it's really only designed if you're using the Windows Azure Pack. So if you're thinking about Windows Azure Pack, you know, I'd get familiar with service management automation, because that's the way to go if you're using the Windows Azure Pack. But I know most of you are not using the Windows Azure Pack, so I wanted to spend some time on Orchestrator as well, and, you know, do similar best practices as you start to think about using Orchestrator in your environment. Okay, so this slide here basically shows you how we've built service management automation. And the reason it's important is we've kind of taken all of the work that the PowerShell team have done. So they built this really powerful engine, PowerShell workflow, that itself is built on Windows workflow that, you know, they've been building for years. So that's a robust engine that we can just use automatically. And then what we've done from the System Center side is we've basically added all the additional capabilities on top of that technology that makes it useful for you as an organization to kind of bet on for centralizing and doing all of your automation. So all the centralized store work we've done, we've made it highly available, so it's backed by SQL Server, so you're not dependent on one machine. And if that thing goes down, then your automation is down. You can depend that this is always going to run. All of the operational tasks, you saw the operational dashboarding we've got built in, but also the management pack integration with Operations Manager. This is basically all the additional things we've added so that it becomes not just a technology you can use, but a full solution you can use inside your organization. And again, you can do historical reporting. So if you want to, you know, do some like return on investment, you know, if you're going to invest a bunch in automation, it'd be nice to know, is it actually paying off? And so you can actually run reports to determine how many jobs run, you know, what would that normally cost if I was to do that manually? What are the errors that might get involved in that? And actually generate a lot of reporting on top of the historical data that it will generate with automation. Okay, so I mentioned we're, what the architecture looks like. If people are familiar with the Orchestrator architecture, this is almost the same architecture as an Orchestrator, but there are some key differences. The one thing you'll notice, first of all, though, is that it is a distributed system. And the reason it's a distributed system is we want to make sure it's highly available. So that portal you see working inside that Windows Azure portal, that's that management portal on the top. So that's where all of your automation, all your work happens. Again, you don't have to do all your authoring up there. You could just write these in the PowerShell ISE. So if you're comfortable with the PowerShell ISE, you could just use that for all your editing, debugging. Once you're happy with it, you could just import it into the system and then run it there. So that's another way if you want to do all your automation. It just uses all the benefits of the centralized store, but you could do the authoring and debugging inside the ISE. But once you do that, everything from there on in goes through our web service. And so the web service allows you to basically have multiple web services if you want them, just to maintain high availability and put in network load balancing or whatever else you need to do in front of it. And then once they go through our web servers, what we do is we store everything into SQL Server. And the reason we do that is it allows you to actually make that highly available as well. So if you want to do clustered SQL, you can do that. Or if you want to use other SQL capabilities to keep it up, all those are available, and you can use them with service management automation. So once we've stored it all centrally in our SQL Server, this is all those jobs that happen then. You saw those jobs running. Again, we wanted a distributed solution there, so we have multiple runbook workers that you can install onto different virtual machines. And the whole idea is that there's not one single failure point across the end-to-end system. And so you only, if you only have maybe not that many jobs, you could just deploy two, and it would probably meet most of your needs. But if you started to get more hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of jobs, The scale out is you just add another runbook worker. It will pick up that work and keep going. So that's how the architecture is built. And the one thing to notice that's different from Orchestrator that's shipped in 2012 with service management automation is that these runbook workers over here, they actually all pick up work at the same time. So what we have in Orchestrator today is what we call a spillover architecture. And so one of these runbook servers in Orchestrator, it would fill up, you'd say it can run 100 jobs. And then after it's running 100 jobs, then the next runbook server would pick up the next 100, and then the next 100. And it actually works really well, but it's not the most useful optimization of resources because you have these runbook servers lying around that aren't really doing anything in a lot of cases. And so what we wanted to do with service manager automation is distribute that load evenly all the time. And so that's one of the architecture differences. And there's others, but other than that, it's very similar to what we have in 2012. Okay, so now I'm going to kind of dive into the Orchestrator world. And I'm not just going to only do Orchestrator, but I'm going to try to show how you can integrate Orchestrator into other systems you have within System Center, but also back into service management automation as well. Because both these things can actually work together to deliver end-to-end solutions. So this slide is basically to convey, you know, when we should use Orchestrator, the traditional one we've shipped in 2012, again, an SP1 and an R2, and when you should use the service management automation that I just spent the last few minutes walking through. And the way to think about it is, if you're doing the traditional data center automation, which means you're not taking the Windows Azure pack, then use Orchestrator. It's been designed for that. We've optimized that thing over the last few years. We've added a bunch of new integration packs over the last few years. And so that thing is really well built for all your traditional data center automation integration you'd want to do. But the one thing it really has too, it has that graphical authoring. And so if you want the graphical authoring, you know, there's no choice but to use the Orchestrator right now. But if you're going with the Windows Azure pack, that's when I would use service management automation. Because you can see it's not just have that new rich engine functionality, we also have those really tightly integrated hooks into the rest of the Windows Azure pack. So all of those virtual machines that get created, they can automatically just tie in and start calling automation on the back end. So we've really built service management automation to work well with the Windows Azure pack and kind of the cloud as we go forward. But they basically do the same thing. You know, they're all doing process automation at the end of the day. It's just more which technology is right depends on what you're doing inside your data center. Okay, so that's kind of Orchestrator and service management automation. And I want to jump into another demo and kind of focus a little bit more on Orchestrator and show you what are the best practices when you're building Orchestrator and then tie in SMA as well. Okay, so how many people use Service Manager today in System Center? Cool, there's a handful, which is good. I was talking to someone earlier, I know they were using, I think, ServiceNow, and I'm sure some of you might be using Remedy, you know, and a whole set of you might be using VMware, and so it doesn't really matter. All of those systems today, you can, with Orchestrator, you can actually have integration packs to talk to those things. Some of them are shipped, a lot of those are shipped by Microsoft, by us, but some are shipped by our partners for ones that we haven't built ourselves. But most of those systems actually have integration packs available for them. But since it's a Microsoft show, I'm actually going to use Service Manager as the ability to do approvals. But again, you could replace this with any approval system you have. It could just be SharePoint, or it could be Remedy, or some other one you have in your system. So the scenario basically here is, it's kind of the opposite of what you might do today inside of Windows Azure pack, where you know, if somebody wants a virtual machine, they can just get one because they've signed up for a certain plan, just like they would in Azure. But you know, what we see a lot in data centers is it's not so easy. You don't want to just start throwing out virtual machines. There is some approval process in place before people get virtual machines. And it's that way for different reasons. Sometimes it's a licensing check, make sure we can actually allow them to deploy a bunch of SharePoint farms. But there's other reasons as well, like they have a cost center and they're over their cost center for that month. And so it depends on what that policy is. But Service Manager allows you basically to put the request offering in front of the user. So they have a portal where you can actually go request your machines or request anything actually. But it has built-in approvals along the way. So you can actually go and approve these things, do some extra work. But the integration you're going to see here with Orchestrator is we actually have tight integration with Service Manager and Orchestrator, so that as things happen in Service Manager, you can actually trigger off those events and do work inside of Orchestrator based on things that happen. So I won't spend too much time, but I'm going to switch over. Hopefully this looks familiar to people who are using Service Manager. But this is actually ships inside a System Center, and this is basically used for our incident change solutions as well as request offerings. And it stores our entire CMDB. So all of your configuration management database is stored inside Service Manager. But what I'm doing today is actually, if somebody goes to a portal and they request a VM, in this scenario, we're not actually going to give them a VM straight away. We're going to do some work and approve it. And if it's approved, then we'll actually go and give them a VM. And so that's really what Service Manager gives you, that the Windows Azure Pack doesn't give you deliberately, is that a kind of approval mechanism built into it. It is possible, and there's some partners that have solutions for this. So inside this need additional finance VM, so this basically, you know, someone's gone to the Service Manager portal and they've said, I need another finance virtual machine. And so what we're going to do here is we're actually going to go ahead and improve that. So you can see here, there's a couple of activities, approve the service request and apply. If you actually went back to the general, you can see need additional finance VM. And they've given us what's the VM name. So we can ask what machine they want to call it. And they may say, okay, I want the machine to be called Finance 2 because that's the one I want and I have, you know, this numbering mechanism I use for my finance machines. So I would go ahead and approve this and then Orchestrator would actually kick in because what Orchestrator is doing, what I'm going to show you now, is actually monitoring Service Manager looking for events that are around approving and provisioning virtual machines. And there are some sessions tomorrow on Service Manager. If you want to have, you know, more information about Service Manager and what's happening over there, I would go to that session tomorrow and you'll get more information on Service Manager. But this is an Orchestrator session, so I'm going to jump back into Orchestrator. And as you can see, this is quite different than PowerShell. This is our graphical solution with Orchestrator, and it's really nice. And one of the benefits you get is we have this thing called forms-based authoring, and I'll show you how that basically works. So in here you can see I'm monitoring Service Manager, looking for service requests, and I'll just show it's very simple. We connect into Service Manager. I'm looking for the class name service requests, and if it's new or updated, I'm actually going to retrieve that item from Service Manager and pass it along to the next activity in the data bus. And so the next activity I do is I get that review activity. So as you saw, that we had two activities on a service request, and one was the approval, and then one was actually go and do the next set of work. And so I'm just looking for the review activity. So this is actually someone who's reviewed it and approved it. And then I get the approval status. And here's very similar to Service Manager automation is I want to have smaller runbooks. And so what I'm doing here is I'm actually going to call get unique name in domain. And because we have integration with Active Directory, I can actually go and try to get the machine. So they passed in Finance 2. I'm going to look to see if Finance 2 is already taken inside our domain. Because if it is, there's no point actually just trying to create Finance 2 because it's going to break. And then stuff is just not going to work. And so what I do is I actually run a little bit of PowerShell. And all it does, again, is it looks for that machine. If that machine is actually there, it will just create a new machine name with a number at the end. So if they ask for Finance 2 and Finance 2 is taken, I'm just going to create Finance 3 because that's maybe the numbering scheme that they want. And I'll give them back Finance 3 with a notice saying, you know, Finance 2 is already in use. We've created Finance 3 for you. And then they may actually do something different based on that. And then once it's there, you just return that machine back to the parent runbook. So you can see this is that parent runbook, and I've just called that sub runbook. And then once you actually have the machine, you actually want to go and provision it. And so then I just go to the next runbook, and this is like, you know, literally two commands, and I can provision a virtual machine for the end user. And the reason I can do this is because of all these integration packs over here, you can see I have one for Virtual Machine Manager. And what I've done is I said, you know, create VM from template. And what it does is it allows you to talk into Virtual Machine Manager and actually create a VM based on information passed into you. And so this is really this kind of forms-based authoring that you get in Orchestrator. But the idea about keeping your runbooks really small and reusable applies here almost more so than you might even apply in service management automation. And so one thing you'll see here is I have this idea of subscribing to things on the data bus. So this computer name that got passed in, you can actually just pass this in from the parent runbook, and then I just get it directly from the initialized data. So again, there's no hard coding in Orchestrator, just like there's no hard coding in service management automation if you can avoid it. I haven't avoided it here, as you can see in some cases. I do have some hard coding, but you could actually remove all these things out, and there'd be none in here at all, because you could pass all of them in or use a variable. But the one interesting one I'm going to talk a little bit about is if you actually wanted to provision a VM, you might want to do the same thing. So the request came through Service Manager now. So it hasn't come through the Windows Azure Pack, but you may have the same policies. It doesn't really matter where these virtual machines are coming from. You still want to apply the same policy. And so what you can actually end up doing is installing the OM agent in this workflow as well. And what you see is I actually just started writing a runbook called install OM agent. And so traditionally what you would do is you would actually go and write a bunch of PowerShell just like we did in service management automation and go trigger install that agent for them. But I'm not going to do that. So what I'm going to do is actually call into service management automation and actually call that same runbook. So the runbook that was actually created for service management automation to do agent install is available here as well. And the reason it's available is because we ship the PowerShell modules not just for service management automation but for Orchestrator as well. And because there's PowerShell modules available for both, you can actually call service management automation from Orchestrator and you can call Orchestrator from service management automation. And so if you have investments already in Orchestrator, so you got a bunch of stuff already built up, and now you want to start building things in service management automation, you can still leverage all of that investment, all the work you've done inside of Orchestrator. But I've actually done the reverse here. I actually have that little runbook over in service management automation to install an agent. And what you'll see here is I'm actually going to call it. I'll just make this a little bigger. And you can see it's not much code. And you would apply it to almost everything you want to do when you go back. So all this thing is doing is, you know, what's the machine where this is the web service where service management automation is? And then I actually, all I do is call that install OM agent. So this is the runbook, if you remember, over in service management automation. And I pass in the parameters. And what you can see here, this computer is actually getting passed in from the parent runbook again. So we're going to pass in the computer name, and then I'm just going to call over into service management automation and have it do its work. We know that thing works already. And it's just going to loop here, waiting for that runbook to succeed, and then set the job status. If it failed, I would get the different job status, and I'm going to put that back up on the data bus so it can get used again. So this would actually, this like 6 or 7 lines of code, you could reuse this over and over and over to actually call into service management automation for any runbook you've built. And the reverse is almost identical. It'll look like the same PowerShell, except in calling get SMA job, you'll actually call the command for Orchestrator to start a runbook. I think it's start Orchestrator runbook. But it looked like a very similar thing because we have a web service in Orchestrator as well. So this allows you basically to go back and forth between the two. And once I'm happy with that one, again, I would check that in inside of Orchestrator. And then in a very similar way I've done with the rest, now that I know it's good and I can test it, I could just drag this over and I could hook up that runbook to here, and then pass in the information. So you can see this is an invoke runbook. And I can just go inside of Virtual Machine Manager, and then TechEd Europe, and install OM agent. Again, it's very forms-based authoring. You're not really writing script like you would in PowerShell. And I can subscribe. This is the data bus. So the actual machine name I could actually get and use that going forward. And so if I want to get the machine name, I just go get unique domain, and here it is. So this is that runbook that ensured I got a unique computer inside my domain. And I pass this in to the install OM agent, and it will go ahead and do the work. And I would obviously wait for completion here probably so that I could return the results back to Service Manager. Or I could not and just return straight away. So just with that few lines of code, you've actually taken advantage of calling into Service Manager. And this is how you build up your runbooks. You just build small little runbooks, and then you just literally, with forms-based authoring, there isn't much coding at all in Orchestrator, which is one of the real powerful things about it. It allows you to talk to all these different systems very easily and actually run everything. The one thing I'll flip back to here is, you saw in Service Management Automation, we had this operational console that allows you to see what was happening and kind of debug things as they went along. We have Orchestration Console and Orchestrator as well. And what you can see here is I've actually done this monitor VM provisioning before. And if you go into the view details, it allows, if you have operator people in your organization, they could go in and troubleshoot if something happened inside of this runbook. As you can see, this one successfully ran when I used it before. And so you can see it just, you know, moved along and it was completed. And it might take 15 minutes, it might take 2 hours. It doesn't really matter. It's just going to keep on going until it's done. And all the troubleshooting, so the activity details are available to you. The one tip here is what I've turned on inside of Orchestrator is all the logging. So if you look at Orchestrator, you would actually see I can actually go into this monitor VM. And SMA has this as well. And you can turn on this activity-specific published data. And what that does is all that information that gets passed at runtime actually gets stored in our database and then is available for troubleshooting. And that's why you see all that information available inside of the operational logs. And so it's a good thing to do when you're first kind of hardening the runbook and making sure it's good. But after that, I would turn it off and only turn it on when there's actual tracing you need. Because it will have a performance hit. If all of your runbooks are logging all this data, it actually does affect the performance of the database. And there's a lot of more data just being sent across the network that really isn't needed. So that's one thing to think about is turn it on. After a week or two, you're pretty happy that thing is really solid. You can probably turn it off. And then if there's an error that starts happening, you can just turn it on again real quickly and then get the specific information for it. Okay, so that's the Orchestrator integration. So there you can see we've talked to Operations Manager, we've talked to Virtual Machine Manager, and we've talked into Service Manager. And it was just a few simple runbooks. And it wouldn't matter if we were talking into any other system. Could be any of those I talked about before, like ServiceNow, SharePoint, VMware. It doesn't really matter. It's all it is you're going to bring all these smaller runbooks together, and your end-to-end process will actually get applied using Orchestrator. Okay, let me switch back. So one of the slides I wanted to do was, just because the Windows Azure pack is pretty new, you might be looking for things to actually do. I talked about quite a few of them during the session, but they're in the slides here as well. And they're basically in three common categories that we've seen most of our customers doing. And actually, if you think about Orchestrator and the traditional data center, it's not that different, the Windows Azure pack scenarios that you're probably doing today inside of Orchestrator in your data center. It's mostly around monitoring remediation, around change control and provisioning, around patching and backup. These are just the typical things you do inside of a data center, but we're not going to do them the typical way. We're going to automate every single one of them, and we're going to bring them all together inside of Orchestrator. Okay, so I think there's like 15 minutes left or so, so I want to spend about 5 minutes or so, or 10, on the Orchestrator roadmap. So I'm hoping now you got a good feel for what we offer today. So all this stuff is shipped in 2012. It's shipped in 2012 R2. You can use it today, and you could actually probably automate your entire data center using either one of those solutions, the Graphical Orchestrator solution, or if you're deploying Windows Azure Pack Service Management Automation. But one thing we've noticed is that we're starting to see a lot of our customers blur the lines between cloud and traditional data center. And what that means basically is they're delivering private clouds and they're actually still have a bunch of traditional data centers, traditional data center operational tasks they're doing. And so what we didn't want to end up long term was having two different automation solutions, because as customers start to blur the lines between cloud and traditional data center, we wanted one automation solution that was going to work across both. So it didn't matter if you deployed Windows Azure Pack on premises or if you're talking to a service provider or if you're actually just doing everything internally. All of those processes across Linux machines, third-party systems, everything will be done in a unified automation solution as we go forward. But the one big takeaway to think about here is, you may have seen some of the sessions. There was a session on earlier today called Microsoft Azure Automation. And that's actually a service that we shipped into Azure. It just went generally available this week, and so I'd really encourage you to see that session, because how we're going to approach our investments over time now is it's the exact consistent service that you saw inside of Service Management Automation that we've delivered into Azure. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to continue to invest in that service first to make sure we've validated all the scenarios, we've hardened all the capabilities, and once we've proven everything out inside of the Microsoft Azure implementation, then we're going to bring it back on premises for all of our customers who are just working inside the data center and can't really use Azure. And so that's the process we're going to do over time. And what it, so that's basically going to look like is this. Is that as you invest and you start to merge your traditional and your cloud, the automation will actually go with you. So as you want to bring this automation capabilities down, you can use the newest investments we've made in Microsoft Azure and use those on premises to actually do your traditional and your cloud in a single automated solution. Okay, so this is kind of a quick summary of the two. So you can see I added in Azure Automation as part of Service Management Azure Pack, even though I didn't demo it today, because what's going to happen is it's going to be the exact same service that ships on premises that ships in Azure. And, you know, I think everybody here was almost using Orchestrator, and people have been investing in that thing for 2 or 3 years. They've built their entire processes, all their automation around Orchestrator, and it actually has a very rich interface. So the graphical authoring is probably the biggest thing people like about Orchestrator beyond all its other capabilities. The rest is very similar, as you might see, inside of Service Management Automation, except it has a custom engine. It doesn't really have PowerShell Workflow Engine, so it has some limitations. And the integrations are done with these integration packs. And so they're really nice and they're powerful integration packs, but it's really hard to keep them always up to date because you're talking to all these third-party vendors and they keep shipping new versions themselves. And then we're kind of chasing, trying to keep these integration packs up to date. And so the nice thing about that is when you think about it from the automation side, we don't really have to do that anymore because all of the vendors, including all the Microsoft component teams and all the servers, they ship their own PowerShell modules. So we don't really have to ship the integration packs as we go forward. But what we don't want to lose is all of the learnings and all of the great things we've had inside of Orchestrator. So what we're going to be doing over the next year, and you'll see this first show up in the Microsoft Azure Automation. That's where you'll actually see all these investments. And then we're going to bring them on premises. But we're going to make a unified solution. So we're going to update Orchestrator and update all of the technology to leverage the new core engine that we've shipped inside of Service Management Automation and that we've shipped inside of Microsoft Azure Automation. And the reason we want to do that is we want to make sure that we kind of build only one engine that works across data centers, works across traditional, but also works in Microsoft Azure. And so the benefit is you'll actually get that consistent service. But everything will run in a portal. As you know, with Service Management Automation, you have a portal experience. With Azure, you have a portal experience. And so we only want one portal experience as we go forward. But the big investment we're working on right now is all of that graphical authoring work you've done, we're going to move graphical authoring inside that one portal. So you will see that show up in Microsoft Azure and then eventually through the Windows Azure Pack. So all you have to do is just deploy the one portal and you can do all the graphical authoring that you just saw inside of Orchestrator will be available in the next version as we bring that out over the next year. And there's a bunch of other features. I'm not going to go into each one of these. So I want to leave a little bit of time to have some Q&A. But you'll see a few of the big ones we're talking about is integration packs are basically now going to be replaced by modules because they really do the same thing. You know, integration packs today in Orchestrator have a bunch of activities to integrate and talk to systems. PowerShell modules have a bunch of commandlets that allow you to go integrate and talk to systems. But the big one at the bottom is basically the tools to convert SCO integration packs and runbooks. So the one thing we didn't want to do was have you invest in Orchestrator for the last 2 years and then not have you benefit from having all this new technology and have to do a bunch of work to move over. So we're doing a lot of work right now to make sure that all those existing investments you've done actually carry forward into the updated technology of Orchestrator. So we'll have migration, basically export your own books, import them. The integration packs you use today, if you've built your own or you're using a third party, we actually have tools that will convert those integration packs into PowerShell modules, and then you'll be able to import those into the updated Orchestrator technology. So there's a lot that's actually going on. You can see we've heavily invested, and our ultimate goal is we can actually unify all automation. So you just have one automation platform that you run inside your data center, or if you want to actually move your assets up into Microsoft Azure, because it's the exact same code and everything's consistent, the APIs, the assets, you could actually export everything out of your on-premises version, import it into Azure, and things would continue to work. So as you move some of your workloads up into Azure, you can move your management and your automation up into Azure as well. Okay, with that, I'll do a quick in review and then maybe take some questions, and then we'll go over to the Ask the Experts and we can answer more questions and just have a discussion over there. But I think the main takeaway, you saw what the session objectives were, well, it was really trying to give you a view into the different automation capabilities we're shipping right today. What do we have inside of R2 for Windows Azure Pack? What does Orchestrator do? How can these integrate together? What are some of the best practices around using these? What are the different systems you can talk to? So that's really what the session was about. But the takeaway I would look at is you can actually do almost anything and integrate into anything using Orchestrator. So don't think about, you know, some of the silos that might exist today inside of your data center as actually being real silos that you can't actually use automation for. You can probably talk to any system. As long as you can define what that process is, you can actually automate it. And I can guarantee you once you start automating, you won't stop because it'll just keep on going when you see the benefits. And it's usually not the benefits just inside your IT department. It's mostly about the benefits of people who are consuming services from the IT department. That's where you see a lot of these benefits really come through. So that's where I would actually put most of your effort as you go forward. And then the other thing to think about is they're not mutually exclusive. You can actually leverage Orchestrator as it is today and Service Management Automation and actually call back and forth between the two and deliver end-to-end processes that might go across Windows Azure Pack and traditional data center in exactly the same way. So don't think of them as one or the other. Think of them on which one is the best for what you're doing today. And then what we're going to be doing is actually we're going to be unifying these two over time so that all of those investments you have in either one actually come into a single solution that basically has the best of both worlds. And we bring all of your existing content forward. And there's a whole set of features we'll be adding as we go forward on top of that. And you'll see them inside of the Microsoft Azure Automation. Okay, with that, I will stop with a few minutes to go. But there is a bunch of related content. It is Thursday, so some of these have happened already. But I would go, if you're interested, on the first one, like Microsoft Azure Automation. It shows what we have today. It'll look just like you're using Service Management Automation. But that's what we've shipped, and it's generally available. But there's a bunch of other sessions that are available on learning more about Service Manager, about Orchestrator, and about Service Management Automation that you can actually go and watch the videos or just watch the PowerPoint. Okay, so with that, I will end the session, and I will take some questions for a few minutes before we go over to Ask the Experts. So I'll just thank everyone first, and then if you have some questions, please come up to the microphone here, you can ask them. If not, you can come up afterwards, and I'll try to answer them there. Cool, thanks everyone.